The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. The gospel today is one of the most popular, if that's a possible word, most popular gospels that we read at funerals. Because I think we have a kind of a consolation in knowing that where we're going to have a place, we're going to belong. Jesus says, "I have a place for you prepared." But the gospel reading for funerals does not include the second half of the gospel today, where Philip says to him, "Show us the Father." And Jesus replies with probably one of the most profound teachings of the Blessed Trinity that we have in the Scriptures. This is probably the fourth time I've given a homily on this reading already in the season of Easter. And it occurs to me that if something is repeated so many times, then somebody's trying to tell us to pay attention, right? It's like, okay, now listen to what I have to say. This is the fourth time I'm going to tell you, right? My dad used to think that we weren't very smart, I guess. And my dad used to say, if you throw mud at a barn often enough, some of it's going to stick, right? So he would tell us over and over the things that we needed to know. And I think that's what Jesus is doing here. This identity that he has with the Father is something that is completely, well, I don't know, it's maybe something that people don't really understand even today. Because it's one thing that we know, I think, commonly in our faith, and we find consolation in the fact that God loves. God loves me. God loves you. God loves everyone equally. But love is not something that God does. It is who he is. God is love itself. It's not an attribute of God. So that in that eternal moment of God, because God is love, and love is something that's not a thing, it's an action, right? It has to exist within a relationship. God who loves expresses himself to let us know who he is, or not us, I guess this is way before creation. God in his love expresses who he is, and that perfect expression of himself is what begets the Son. This is a profound fundamental teaching of the church, that God begets the Son because he loves. and he wants to share. He wants to express himself. Now, if I was receiving an Amazon delivery on Friday afternoon, and the driver came up, it was after hours, and I just happened to be outside, because normally they'll leave it at someplace impossible to find, right? But I was standing out in front, and I stopped, and she rolled down the window, and I started to talk to her. And I realized that she was deaf and also mute. She couldn't speak to me. But there was a friendly exchange, and she handed me my package, and I thanked her. But after that, I began to think, okay, now what happens if you're not able to express who you are by words? Isn't that the way we reveal ourselves to one another? And so God the Father, in that eternal moment, we say he expresses himself by a word because we're humans. That's the way we can access this mystery. So he speaks this word, and the word became flesh, right? He speaks this word and his only begotten, because he can only speak that word perfectly once. There's only one infinity. He speaks that word in eternity, and the Son is being begotten. This is his first act of love. By revealing himself, he produces himself to us. Now, if I were a sculptor and I wanted to recreate maybe a sculpture exactly of one of you, I might be able to come up with a process by which I would reveal to you who I am, what I look like, or what you look like, in a perfect likeness, as long, of course, as you don't move or think or speak or have any kind of action. My sculpture will never equal you. But God, who is the perfect sculptor, he speaks this word in eternity of self-revelation. Because he loves, he wants to share himself. And what he speaks is this perfect word, who is exactly himself. So that Jesus can say in the Gospels things like, everything that the Father he has given to me, everything that I have, I receive from my Father. The Father and I are one. If you look at me, you look at the Father. He says this in the Gospel today, doesn't he? To see me is to see the Father. And the Father, he works through me. Everything that he does, I do. Because basically we're the same, except that we're two different persons, because love, perfect love, begets perfect being. And so the Son is begotten. But that love doesn't stop. That love continues to extend. There's a theologian that I used to love to read in the seminary, Hans Urs von Balthasar, who said that there is a trajectory that takes place. Because of the love of the Father begetting the Son then empties himself like the Father, and he enters into time and space and becomes one of us. He empties himself of his glory. He becomes a human person. And he enters into all of our human experiences, the good ones and the bad ones. But ultimately, the worst of all, because he is crucified on the cross and enters into the depths of our human experience of suffering and abandonment, feeling completely forgotten, even by the Father. So the fathers of the church would say that this is why Christianity grew so rapidly in the beginning, was because people understood that no matter how far or how fast you ran from the Father, you're only going to run into the arms of the Son, because the Son is already there. The deepest places where we can fall, he is there, ready to receive us. So this being begotten of God, this expression of God's self shared, is his love, and the love that they share, Father and Son, is the Holy Spirit, love shared. Now, we had a First Communion Mass last night. It was wonderful to see all of our second graders from the school receive First Holy Communion. We'll have First Holy Communions again at 9 and 11 this morning for all of our children in religious education, another 80 children. But what I wanted to say to them and what I want to say to you today is that it's great to be able to claim that God loves me. God loves me. Everything God did, he did for me. Even if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus, the Son of God, still would have become a man and died for you. So that is a wonderful statement, to be able to say God loves me or God loves you. And we believe that with the most intense faith. But there is more than simply God loves me. The reality is that God becomes you. And this is the mystery of the Eucharist. When God the Son becomes a human person, he takes on us our human flesh. And then he sacrifices that to the Father so that we might be redeemed. That reconciliation that we could not do ourselves is something that is made possible in the Father. We are reconciled. We are forgiven in Christ. And in the mystery of the Eucharist, when we come to this Mass, we recognize that our only response is that of thanksgiving. That's the root word of Eucharist in the Greek. It means thanksgiving. So we gather every Sunday. It's an obligation because this is the only thing that we can do in order to fulfill our own identity as human persons redeemed in Christ. We gather together in thanksgiving to recognize the goodness of God and the fact that we have been called to be more than simply human beings. I have this quote from St. Augustine, which I think is amazing. He says, "You are Christ's body and members." Now think about the real presence of God. We always emphasize the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, right? And we should. But that real presence is something that transfers to us. St. Augustine says, "It is your own mystery that you are receiving." He says, when you hear the body of Christ at communion, you reply, "Amen." So be a member of Christ's body, he says, so that your amen may be true. Be what you see and receive what you are. I thought maybe that this homily was a little dense for First Communion last night. Because it's a lot, isn't it? I mean, it's so basic and fundamental to what we do as faith. We were always taught in the seminary that if you start at the wrong place in theology, you're going to end up in the wrong place. So if you start with the idea that God loves me, you're going to end up in the wrong place. But if you start with the idea that God is love itself, that changes everything. And after Mass last night, a young man, probably 15, 16 years old, came up to me and he said, and I was amazed that he had been listening so intently to my homily. He says, if God is love, and if God becomes me, does that mean I am love? My eyes teared up. I'm like, I cannot believe that this young man was able to get this at this level. It was amazing. I said, of course that means you are love. Every time you love, you are Christ to other people. They see him in you. And you find the fulfillment of who you are. Because you have come from this Mass with a mission to accomplish that love in the world that needs it so much. And can't find it. But can find it in you.